Take your Bibles, if you will, tonight and turn with me to Joshua chapter 14. One of my favorite parts of Joshua, because we get to hear from an 85-year-old man. I'm not looking at you particular there, Fred. Joshua chapter 14. I know you're not that old. All right. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, starting in verse 6. And Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord with my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time that He said this to Moses, while Israel moved about the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out in battle as I was then. Now give me this mountain, give me this hill country that the Lord has promised me this day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there, and other cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as He said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. But then the land had rest from war. Father, I come to You tonight, and I pray, Father, that You will speak to our hearts, because, Lord, we need to hear You. We need our spirits open to You tonight, so I pray, Father, that You will indeed, Father, invade us tonight. We need You more than anything. We don't need ourselves. We don't need others. We need You. And so we call upon You, Lord, tonight. I thank You that You're right here amongst us. You promised that You would be, where two or three are gathered in Your name, and we are gathered in Your name tonight. In the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, we call upon You, Lord, to not only be here, but to move in our hearts and in our spirit. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Caleb's commitment. Well, it was pretty obvious what Caleb's commitment was like. I mean, on the day that Israel was judged for what they didn't do, Caleb was issued great, great praise from the God, because he was willing to do what God had asked him to do. Joshua and Caleb came back from scouting out the land along with the other 10 spies, and we know the story. The other 10 spies were very afraid for their lives. It mentions in here a couple of times the Anakites. These are the descendants and the forerunners of the very large people which Goliath came from. They were known for their stature, for their strength, for their fierceness in battle. And so as these 12 spies went into the land, what they saw was what God had said. The land was flowing with milk and honey, no doubt about it. It was flourishing. It was green. It had everything that God had said it was going to have. But they didn't see those things like they saw the people who were living there. And they saw the people living there, and they came back, the tens, saying, "We're like grasshoppers to them. There's no way we can go against their fortified cities. There's no way that we can stand up against them in war. It's a hopeless cause." Joshua and Caleb says, "We can certainly do it, because God has told us wherever we put our feet, He'll give it to us. And so they had their first business meeting. And they were defeated, 10-2. So God says, "Okay, you want to do it your way instead of my way? So none of you get to go in. Except Joshua and Caleb. None of you that are old enough to understand, old enough to vote, old enough to know what I'm... You don't get to go in. I was going to give you the promised land. I was going to give it to you. I was going to fight for you. But now you're going to spend 40 years in the desert till you all die off. Caleb had made a commitment early in his life. Now, the difference between Caleb's commitment and the other 10 guys is that they probably committed to go on this journey, but they were again kind of like the hen and the pig. The hen made a commitment to give part of itself to a breakfast, and the pig did too, but the pig actually made the commitment. The chicken just gave a donation. So anyway, they weren't wholeheartedly into this. Now the thing of it is that it talks about Caleb, and three different times it says that he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Wonder why it's in there three times. I think any time God repeats Himself, it's for our benefit. And so he says, Caleb had a wholehearted commitment. Webster says it's a pledge, a promise, something that you will follow through on. Now, I remember as a young kid, I lived in a different time than we do now. When people said they would do something, they did it. When people made a contract, they didn't even have to sign it. They shook hands on something. And that meant, I'll do this. If I say I'm going to do it, I'll do it. Nowadays, people say, I'll be there. They might be there, they might not be there. I'll do that. And then they don't show up or don't do it. Commitment doesn't mean the same thing any longer. Webster says it's a pledge, a promise, something you will follow through on. The Bible says that Caleb wholeheartedly followed God. The literal word here means a complete effort and determination to finish a task or a directive. I remember when I was in high school as a freshman playing football, we had a really tough coach. Back then, they didn't call it, you know, hurting the kids or, you know, over exercising the kids or, oh, be careful with our kids kind of. I mean, we were at their mercy. And we would have a 2-hour practice from 6 to 8 in the morning. And then we would have a 2.5-hour practice from 4 till 6:30 in the evening. 4.5 hours a day. We ran and we ran and we ran and we ran and we ran. Now, why did we do that? Because the coach hated us? No. We did that so that in the fourth quarter, we would still have strength when everybody else was wasting away. The same is true in Caleb's life. He was willing to not only go where God said to go, he was willing to take on whatever God had told him to take on. And I'm sure even in his heart during those 40 years of wasting all this time that he could have been in the promised land, he was looking forward to that day when God would fulfill his promise because he knew he would. So the actual term here was actually used of a hunter who was after his prey. He would not stop until it was captured. Wholehearted. Caleb says, God, I'm going to follow you no matter what. I'm going to follow you to the very end, no matter what. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says it like this. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you received from God? You're not even your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Caleb understood this principle. He knew that the only reason he was even there and that God was even going to use him because he's not even his own. He is God's. When Julius Caesar landed on the shores of Britain with his Roman legions, he took a bold and decisive step to ensure the success of his military venture. Ordering his men to halt on the edge of the cliffs of Dover, he commanded them to look down at the water below, and to their amazement, they saw every ship in which they had crossed the channel engulfed in flames. Caesar had deliberately cut off any possibility of retreat. Now that his soldiers were unable to return to the continent, there was nothing left for them to do but to advance and conquer. And that's exactly what they did. Too many Christians have left themselves some sort of an escape hatch back into the old life of sin. We need to burn every bridge that leads back to this old life and set our minds on the task of conquering our Canaan. I thought that was a great statement. Because it's so easy for us to say, yeah, God, I'll do that. I'll do that. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. But you remember those guys that came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I'll follow you, but I gotta go back home and take care of my dad for a while. Well, so you're not gonna follow me then. That's what you're saying. You're saying you'd like to follow me, but not enough to do it. And I think there's a lot of us that think, man, I really want to give God everything, but I got to hold back a little bit. Because if I don't hold back a little bit, I won't have anything. That's the purpose. That's what God wants. He wants wholehearted people. The Lord wants and deserves all of us. He deserves all of this church. He deserves every person that He's paid the price for. He deserves that. He wants and deserves our whole attention. He wants and deserves our whole devotion. He wants and deserves our obedience. What God says we should do. That is wholehearted devotion and obedience. That's what God wants. That's what He desires. Why? Because He knows that if we will follow Him wholeheartedly, then His work can be done. And He can use us to accomplish the things in this kingdom work that He has for us. Caleb's commitment was wholehearted. Not only that, Caleb's confidence. I love this. He says, you know what? I was 40 years old. Here I am 45 years later and I'm just as strong to do the work that God has given me to do. So give me that high country over there because I'm going to take on those giants. Because God has said, every place I set my foot, He's going to give it to me. Woo! That gives me goosebumps when I think about it. Caleb took God at His word. Well, what did His word say? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 1 verses 35 and 36 says this, no one from this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give to your ancestors. Talking to those people who said, I'm not going to go in. They're too strong for us. We can't do it. He will see it, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he sets his feet on, because he followed the Lord, what? Wholeheartedly. There it is again. I think God's trying to get something over to us tonight. That our devotion to Him has to be wholeheartedly. God's Word always comes true because He's true. And this Word that He spoke about Caleb came true. Caleb's confidence was in God's Word. God had already said this. He took him at His Word. But secondly, Caleb stepped out in faith. He acted upon what God had already said. Now you see, there's something different in a lot of people. They know what God says, but they're not willing to step out in it. Maybe that's for somebody else, or maybe someday I'll get to the point where I can trust Him, or maybe, you know, Caleb was there. He was ready. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to go. Give me that mountain. He was acting upon what God had already said, believing that you can be a part of what God is doing is faith. Do you want to be a part of what God is doing right here? In this community? In your families? Do you want to be a part of that? Or do you want to sit back and go, man, I hope it goes okay. You guys do a good job. Sick 'em. Hebrews 11:1 says it like this. Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. See, that's what Caleb had. He had faith in God. Because he knew if God said it, He would do it. If God says something, He will do it. I can tell you this, folks. I read the end of the book. And this world is going to come to an end at some point. And Jesus is going to come and rule for 1,000 years. And Satan's going to be bound and cast into hell forever. And we're going to be with God forever. Why do we have to wait till then to experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? We need to experience right now. God's already asked us to follow Him by faith. Faith is never a blind leap, but a deep, settled conviction that God will do what He has promised. That's what faith is. He's not asking us to do something that He was not, that He's, you know, testing us. Oh, go ahead and step out there and see if I'll hold you up. No. God tells us what to do. And faith is simply following through on it. So Caleb had the confidence because he knew what God had said and he knew what God would do. But he also had courage. It's something that's found in what Scripture calls overcomers. In the New Testament, that word is used a couple of different times. It's actually, unfortunately, the Greek word Nike. I used to like Nike until they started taking on the world's views. Overcomers. That's what Caleb was. He was an overcomer. He's saying, hey, don't give me some easy place. You know, a lot of these people would probably like to be down there by the seashore in that very fertile valley in a very nice neighborhood with some cul-de-sacs and some, don't do that to me. God, give me the big mountain where all the giants live. Give me that, Lord. Because I know that You can do this. You are Caleb, an overcomer. So you're going to take down the giants and you're going to take down the high places. Seeing the impossible and knowing what that with God, all things are possible. Caleb had proven that he was an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who gives me my strength. Folks, I'm telling you something. Are you an overcomer or are you someone that gets run over? Not only was he willing to wholeheartedly follow God and be an overcomer, he became a giant killer. The question is, do you have some giants in your life? Do you have some giants in your life? Maybe it's fear of not living up to what God wants you to do. Maybe it's shame for things that you've done in your life. Maybe it's things in your family's life that you're worried about. Whatever it might be, there are giants in every life. But God has given you the power in the Holy Spirit to be a giant killer. Are there some things that just seem too big? When David looked at Goliath, some would say he was too big to hit, but David would say he was too big to miss. These giants in our life must be put to death. They can't be sequestered for a while. They can't be just tied up and put in a corner because they will surely get loose again. These things in our life that keep us from following God wholeheartedly by faith must be put to death. Not just put in prison where they may someday escape, but put to death. Well, how do you do that? Same way Jesus said to do it. Take up your cross every day and follow me. Don't follow yourself, because when you follow yourself, here come the giants again. They must be put to death every single day. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power of love and self-discipline. Gives us power, love, and self-discipline. You can't do it on your own. We can't do it on our own. I can't do it on my own. There are giants that are literally too big for me to handle. But nothing's too difficult for God. Caleb by faith, followed God. And he became a giant killer. And by the way, you're never too old to start doing what's right. It's never too late to start doing what's right. It's never too late to follow God wholeheartedly. It's never too late to stand on faith. You're never too old to obey. You're never too old to pray. You're never too old today. Never too old to say, "Give me that mountain." We ought to refuse to give up and back up or shut up or be held up until we've stood up and lined up and read up and prayed up and confessed up and stored up and spoke up and looked up and filled up on everything the Lord wants to give His children. We ought to settle for nothing less than that place of perfect fellowship with the Lord our God. And all God's people said, amen. Father, I ask You to help us. Help me, Lord, be like Caleb.